Hey, it's Jeremy Toy here. Call myself Leonard Charles because those are my two middle names, and we're here talking about my new EP, Heaven.
It's been a couple of years since your last full-length record, the collab one with Guilty Simpson. What's it like looking back on that record, and what's changed for you since then?
I'm very happy with that record, as the way that that turned out, and yeah, the final process of that one. We couldn't have timed it worse for a release. It's January of 2020. But it was actually, I think over that year streaming went up, so it was a good thing in that respect. Got quite a lot of like play around the world from it. Yeah, great time making that record and a great experience working with Guilty Simpson. And we're still working on a follow-up record at the moment.
With Heaven, your new EP, where does this sit in the writing timeline around the last record?
Quite a bit of crossover on that one. The Heaven tracks have been around pre that, like me working on them quite a long time. There's a folder of tunes of like my Leonard Charles stuff that just slowly goes out over time. It's kind of music that doesn't need to be put out at any point. So it's kind of sits there until it's got the right place for it. And these were some of those songs. So I worked back and forth with the sequel label owner, Randy Ellis, on the tracks and which ones we're going to put on the EP. Actually, quite a bit of time back and forthing with him on that, which was super helpful. Incredible label owner, like really helpful.
Could you give me a rundown of how you got looped in with Sequel Records?
The entire story, I'll try and make it kind of short. So I got a friend of mine, Gelphonic, who put out an amazing EP few years back, self-released. He's also done some music with Zaki Force Funk back in the day with the guy called Reggie Blount, who used to live in New Zealand, now lives in the US. So through Gelphonic, he introduced me to Hit and Run, which is a LA label, which also does live screen printing. And through Gelphonic and Scott Bullock, who was worked for Hit and Run in New Zealand, unfortunately not here with us anymore. Rest in peace, Scott. But through those two people, I put a record on Hit and Run, which was a cover of the Dilla Donuts record, and then somehow ended up introducing me to Randy Ellis. Yeah, and Randy had been a fan of the music, which is awesome.
Was there anything particularly different or exciting that you did on this release that you hadn't done before?
What's different? I enlisted a few of my favourite players from around the city, Crystal, Shway and Godfrey DeGruy, to play some keys on it. Normally I did everything myself, and that made a phenomenal difference to some of the tracks. And then with Randy helping back and forth at the label end of it, helped me like sculpt the songs and then introduced me to the guest artists as well on some of the on those tracks as well. Yeah, so I think this one, it's definitely a much more refined record to my other ones. The other ones, I tried to keep them pretty raw with mistakes all through them, and they like the Donuts one, there's one track I did with Ruby Walsh, and I somehow panned all her vocals one side real loud, and it didn't go through the mix bus, it went through some other chain and got louder than everything else. So there's things like that that I just completely like didn't care about because I just wanted to get it out, but this one I spent a bit more time on it.
What was the motivation to polish up these tracks and spend more time fine-tuning them?
Just to see where I could get the songs, especially with the boogie funk stuff. Like if you can get stuff right in the pocket, it does sound really, really good. So it's trying to get that as close as possible. There's a fine line between when I, the demos that I made, keeping that vibe and then keeping that within the like the polished end result as well. I was always conscious of that as well, of not overworking these over the parts and trying to keep the initial like sound. So like there is still like quite a bit of the original, which a lot of the original stuff I just wrote on Casio keyboards. So there's still a lot of that through it, drum machine, the Casio drum machines and stuff throughout it from the original demos here. Yeah.
Was there anything that you were pulling inspiration from when you were putting these tracks together?
Throughout the EP process, I had like the birth of my first child, so my son Dev with Angie is the mum and I'm the dad. and you end up with not much time in your life to do your dream projects, and so there's a lot of thinking involved. So yeah, that's like one of the, I find that quite inspiring though, because I'll be playing with my son and then I'll have the idea and then I've just got to lock the idea in my head, and then when I've got time I'll go and drop it down in the studio. It's always nice hearing him sing over things. He kind of got born being able to sing in tune. When he cried, he would cry in tune, so he always has a little melody going over the top of things. I remember when I made the Cut Off Your Hands record with them, he would sing along with the parts when he was just a tiny little thing. But so there's my son, and then other inspirations. Musically, Lero Burgess is a big inspiration, and I'm so lucky he's on the record and he liked the version that we put on the record. He's a constant inspiration because of the energy that he puts in his music, and beautiful, beautiful soul, Lero Burgess. Him and always Stevie Wonder's always one of the musical inspirations for me, because I love the mistake, the happy accidents all through Stevie's music. Those are probably the big ones. Yeah.
Talk me through the equipment you were using on these tracks, and what was the studio setup along the way?
Started off, I had a studio at the lab in Mount Eden. Started there, and I was like a lot of I've got hooked on Casio keyboards, and the ones where you can actually, they have synths that you can manipulate in them. So I started using them quite a bit. And then like Afrobeat keyboards, which are like early electronic keyboards from like the early 80s. So I've got a couple of those on there as well. It's a Kruma Roadmaster is one of the keyboards on there. So those instruments, drum machines, yeah, I have a drum machine problem. So I've got like a bunch of old Roland drum machines, the CR78 and the 606 there on there, and then Maestro Rhythm King's that's actually probably a big influence on the record, is the Maestro Rhythm King. It's a beautiful sounding drum machine, which is like Sly and the Family Stone used it, Shuggy Otis, also all those, that era stuff. And then a bunch of like modern, like I had a D50 at the Roland D50 keyboard, which I use quite a bit, and a Moog Voyager is always over all of the stuff I play, and a Roland 106. So it's all that stuff. I started at the lab, I got kicked out of the lab, I had to set up at home when the whole world shut down anyway with the pandemic, and so I started finishing it in a spare room at our house, all my gear crammed into this tiny room. It was a nightmare. And then eventually moved out of there, moved to our other house where I've got a basement studio where I finished it off at the basement, and it's a beautifully treated room and it's a beautiful mix environment, so I mixed it all there. It was worked out really well that I kind of recorded at different places, finished it in this studio. Some of the vocals were recorded over in LA. Randy Ellis recorded them for me, and otherwise they're all done here.
Let's break down these tracks, starting at the top. What made you want to start the EP with Heaven?
Randy was keen on that, and I liked the idea. He loved the track and the feel of the song. It is like a tip of the hat to Lero Burgess and his Log Productions, and it's me singing on that one. It's the only one with me singing on it, so it was a nice one to start the record with. We'll be right back. had the beat sitting there. I had tried just different artists singing on it and it wasn't quite popping off. And I tried myself and that definitely didn't work. It had some crazy chord changes in the track. Guilty was feeling it, and he was into trying something a bit different to his normal heavy rap thing. So he threw down the verse, and then Randy thought it would be a good idea to see if Zaya Bell was interested. Zaya Bell is an incredible singer from the Bay Area. She sang in like Kanye West's the choir that he did, and she sang with Too Short, she's an artist in her own right, and like she's hilarious and an incredible singer. Yeah, she recorded that herself, sent it through, and there was very little back and forth thing. Like she pretty much like smashed it on the first round, and we just it was very, very cool hearing that back.
Make a difference here before I fade away. Trying to get food for thought that I can take away. Hard to find substance in this day and age. On a tough road where so many touch dough. People stressing over when it's not enough, so flipped a couple records dying trying to touch gold. Where the love go when the music stop playing and the club close? Is it genuine when your friends try to play the middleman? Getting all the things that you should have been, but when it's getting thin, all the same people want to diss again. Jealous of conditions that you're living in. Call it crabs in the barrel. Jealous of your cash and apparel. That's why I walk a path that is narrow. I'm the jealous one to knock you out the saddle that you're sitting in, instead of settling your differences.
I just love Alex playing his beautiful feel on the drums. And when he started doing his AC Freezy stuff, it just sounds so cool, so fresh, so like just amazing. And we were playing, I think we did a gig with Lady Hawk. He was playing drums, I was playing guitar for Lady Hawk. And on the way home, I was like, you want to try singing on a song? I got one. And he's keen, he was up for it. And yeah, sounds great. Yeah, he came back with the whole thing done and arranged, and the track itself is influence that I took for that one was Eddie Hazel, Parliament Funkadelic guitarist. I love his playing, and it's a homage to him, the guitar playing, and also Juni Morrison, the music of Juni Morrison, who is also from Parliament Funkadelic. He's passed away now, rest in peace, but he did some stuff with Damn Funk, was an incredible artist. And yeah, those are the main influences for that track.
I knew that you rejected. It can be hard to hear the truth. I need to get some air, clear my head, new point of view. And when we talk about it, only lies. You've got to go without it. Oh, hear me. Oh, will I say change? Change only comes from inside. Don't be afraid or surprised. Open your mind, realize. And when you wake up in the morning, sun doesn't shine for only you. Get down with the process, work it through. You need to get some space, and I'll be here for you.
Nine Lives was released a few years back. What made you want to revisit this track, and did you make any changes to it?
We had an option. We could put the original version on the EP, but I was just like, should we do another mix? I think I've got some ideas up my sleeve for this one. So I made that one on my MPC 3000, that version of the track. Turned out real good. Played it to Leroy and he loved it. It's a bit scary sending remixes back to artists because how attached they are to the original version, but he loved it. He loved the feel of that remix, and so with his blessing we put it on the record like that.
Secure, this love is gone, man. There's no plan we hold on to. Hold back what's dragging. doing what they do. It must be true that misery loves company, but that ain't what we're doing. Knock us all you want, we won't get caught. Those negative perceptions have no strength in trying to ruin it. No one gives me so much magic to make my every moment flow. No matter where I go, there's no one, not a chance in hell that's gonna change my mind.
Trackwater was back and forth with Randy Ellis, and it was a nice one to end after Nine Lives, and a nice ending piece. I'd originally written it myself and sung it all like falsetto, and it wasn't quite working. It sort of didn't quite sound like it should do. And Randy was like, I'll ask Reality Jones. I was like, that'd be incredible, because he's like in the LA funk scene. Incredible singer, and yeah, so he put his flavor on it. It's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek song that I wrote, just about what you get up to in your studio and the dreams and aspirations that you have, and having to deal with your partner over that which anyone who has a passion in life knows that story only too well.
You know I've been